traveling the world searching for equestrians of all breeds. The journey starts now on the International Equine Network.
Good afternoon, equestrians. I hope the week's going good for you. I hope you're looking forward to a good weekend of equestrian activities and events across the nation and across the world. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network, welcoming you to our program today and hoping you'll join our journey to equestrian events all over the world. It's kind of exciting today because a lot of things are going on. Saratoga opens up, Del Mar will be open. You know, racing across America is just way farther ahead than we ever thought it would be at this time. It's exciting to see everybody back to work and see fans coming back to the races and to the shows and to polo and to the sales and everything. It's really exciting, you know, to be back into a normal programming. It's almost as if every day I go to the track, it's almost as if we never had the COVID or never had, you know, the pandemic like we had before. And that's both domestic and international. So we're excited about that. All the show horses are backing up and going 100%. So that's exciting. I'd like for you to check our website. And you can check out where the shows are at everywhere. Today, right now on IENTV.org, we have with the Frosted Oaks Watch Party. It's from MyRacehorse.com, and they are talking all about their horses and the things that they're doing and where they're running at. And what's exciting about MyHorseRace.com is you can get into ownership of a horse for around $40. You get a 0.1% ownership, but it's just like any other owner. You get the same how would I say it? The same privileges that all the owners get, no matter whether you own 0.1% or 100%. MyRacehorse.com on INTV.org. They're talking about their horses now on there. So, and another exciting thing that we have that's live today on INTV is INTV.org is Talking Horses with Naira. They're talking about what's going to be going on at Saratoga now that they've opened. So that's exciting, you know, to go see them and listen to what they have to say and just kind of follow along with the program. It's all exciting. You know, it's all live and ready to go. There's a lot of things that we're going to talk about today. That one thing that we're going to talk about is going to step on some toes. And I really don't know what to say about it. All four of my listeners might get mad at me, you know, so I'm not for sure what's going to go on. But the thing that I want to talk about today is the Bob Baffert situation. At this stage and point of what's going on with Bob is hard to say. You know, we don't know what direction he's going in. He still wants to race in New York. He wants to do a lot of things. And it's kind of interesting to see some of the stats and the statistics on him. It's not very good to be at the top of the game like he is and everything. It's just not very good at all. He's had a lot of situations over the last 12 months. It's really brought attention to the racing industry because they were all graded stakes races, you know, that that he had the problems in the Kentucky Derby and, you know, and so forth and so on. So we're just trying to figure out, you know, what's going to happen with it. It's in the hands of the court now. The attorneys are going after Naira. Some other people and trying to get Bob back into racing again. And it's very difficult, you know, because he did break the rules instead of owning up to it, they decided to go to, the courts with it. And it's kind of sad that, you know, that that's happened, because there's a lot of good owners. There's a lot of good horses, you know, in there. And we're just trying to figure, you know, it all out, and what he's done. Now, my opinion is the fact that he should have just said, you know, that happened. It was my fault. And, you know, I'll take my punishment. But no, they decided to go ahead and go against the NYRA, and they decided to go against the whole industry as a whole and take it to court. And unfortunately, the situation is that you broke the rules. Instead of owning up to it, what's happened is you know, they've gone to court. So now that sets the precedent right now. It's okay to break the law or break the rules, you know, and say, I'm sorry, you know, please forgive me. Well, that's not the way it works. You break the rules, you pay the price, you know, and so now what they're trying to do is get around breaking the rules. They're trying to get around all the regulations and everything so that he can race in New York, you know, and that's so important to him to do that. And me personally, you know, I think it's wrong for the industry, because what's happened now is it's put the public, you know, on edge. They don't know if they're getting a horse that's a real deal, or they don't know if they're getting a horse that's medicated. And all the, when all is said and done, you have to look at the breeding rights. You have to look at the public's eye. You have to look at the owner's situation and go from there with it. And the sad part about it is the more the court gets involved in it, the worse it's going to be for the public eye here in it. There's a lot of good people in the business that are on the up and up and straight and narrow, and they go good. Now, it's my understanding that over the past few years, there's been a situation you know, that can't be ignored, and that's the death of horses. It's my understanding that Bob's had over 70 horses put down over the last 10 years, and that's not very good, you know, to have something like that happen, you know, with such a high, you know, profile training. It happens in the business. Not saying he's the worst, not saying he's the best, but, you know, it does happen in the business. And all the horses that he run from Justified to Medina Springs is now tainted. You know, if you go to the breeding shed to them, you don't know what kind of horse you got, because, you know, they were drugged. And so you don't know what really kind of horse could have done, you know, if these things, you know, weren't, you know, happening. Not saying that it's all bad, you know, but I'm just saying it's bad for the public eye and it's bad for the industry. One of the things that I look at is rules and regulations. You have to have rules and regulations. If you don't have them, then the business can get out of control. And when these things happen, it damages us at the betting windows. It damages the reputation and takes away the glamour and the glory of winning a Triple Crown. You know, it's sad, you know, when you see a horse of that quality, you know, be drugged or medicated, and then you say, well, is that a Triple Crown horse? Well, you know, we don't know. We don't know what effect the medication's had on the horse, and we just really don't know. And I'm saying now that you know the rules, you know the regulations. You're in charge of your barn and every and anything that goes on in that barn, be it the grooms getting in trouble, the jockeys, the exercise riders, the owners. You're in control of that barn, and your responsibility is to make sure that all the rules and regulations are followed. My biggest thought is right now is yank it out of the courts, take the punishment, and move on. That's what they got to do. Bob's got horses running this weekend at several different tracks and everything. You don't know what you're going to get there. You have no idea what you're going to get here. It could have been a groom. It could have been somebody else. It could have been anything if the horse tests positive. And then you go back to thinking about, the racing stewards and the rules and regulations of each state. All these things happen. And what's happened to it? Nothing. You know, right now, as it stands right now with Justify to Medina Springs, to all the other horses, hey, you can do what you want, get away with it, take them to court. You know, and you win the race, you take them to court. You know, and that's the thing that I don't like about it, the whole court system, the whole nine yards. It's all about respect and about honor and about procedures and the way you run the barn. I can walk into a barn right now and tell you and look at it and see how the organization's running, see the people, see the horses, see the trainers, see the owners, and I can tell you what kind of barn it is. I can tell you exactly what kind of barn it is, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent and everything. And that's the sad part about it on my end is I see these good trainers or, you know, trainers that are winning, and I know what's going on behind the scenes. Once you get into it, it's going to be interesting. And a lot of people will go down in the industry once this gets out of court. So, we'll keep our eye on that and see, just exactly what happens and if it's a slap on the hand or if it's a real punishment. We'll see. And unfortunately, as it would justify, and time goes on, everybody forgets about it. Everybody forgets about it, so it's going to be interesting. Okay, enough of my complaining, enough of my opinions, which means nothing to most people. What we're looking at today is we're talking about how they get there, the 2022 Kentucky Derby. A lot of good races have come up here, and as we were talking before last week about how they get there, and the journey starts with the owner. And the owner, he's got to go in and make a decision of what he's going to do with these horses, where they're going to go, what trainer they're going to, what races they're going to run, the whole nine yards. And what was exciting about this is the journey has really started. The two-year-old races are coming alive in Kentucky and New York and Del Mar and Saratoga. We're kind of taking a look at that. Now, on how they get to the Kentucky Derby 2022 is interesting. There's a set of rules and regulations in order to get your horse into the Kentucky Derby. Years ago, what you would do is you would have a horse that was doing good and you nominate him to the Kentucky Derby and hopefully, you could race him right up to the Kentucky Derby and have him fit and ready to go. But nowadays, the added process to getting to the Kentucky Derby is being a point system that you have to go to that's been set out by Churchill Downs. And it's good because it builds up racing enthusiasm throughout the year. You can go to ChurchillDowns.com and you can see the Derby prep races. They're in all the states, California, Kentucky, Louisiana, Florida, New York, everywhere, New Jersey, and internationally. And you have to qualify for the Derby, the 20 spots in the Derby, by obtaining enough points and winning the right races, to get your points to get into the Kentucky Derby. And so that's what's exciting now. But as we were talking about the two-year-olds last week in their preparation for the Kentucky Derby in 2022. There's a lot of big stake races that are going on. For example, we have the Sanford Stakes. It's a Grade 3 race. It's for two-year-olds. It's the purse is $150,000. There's no Lasix being used in it for medication of the horses, and it's a great race. It's an exciting time because if you break your maiden or you win at Saratoga, that adds a lot of value to your horse. And so we're looking at the Sanford Stakes, which is going to be run on Saturday the 17th at Saratoga. And it's 6 furlongs. And if you got a horse in here, it's a 9-horse field. And if you have a horse that's going to run here, then he must be pretty good, you know, because you wouldn't be entering a horse, you know, in this race. Like I said, it's a 9-horse field. We have Todd Pletcher's in there. We have Tom Amos is in there. Kelly Breen, Wesley Ward. We got Mr. Potts is in there. Brian Walsh is in there. And it's a great race. 6 furlongs, $150,000, Grade 3. And so the owners that are looking at races like this are really serious about getting their horse on the road to the 2022 Kentucky Derby. And so they prepped them accordingly over the spring, you know, and through the summer to, you know, get them to this point. And if you win the Sanford Stakes, then there's a lot of other races leading up to the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And that's the tough part about it. You're looking at the 1st of November for the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And here it is, you know, the middle of July. So you're looking at, you know, 2-3 months, you know, to get to the Breeders' Cup. And you're basically looking at one race between now and the Breeders' Cup, you know, to get them just right. And staying on Saratoga here for a minute, like I said, the Sanford Stakes is a Grade 3, 2-year-old's up 6 furlongs, $150,000. But some of the trainers and some of the owners look at a different race. It's a maiden special weight at Saratoga. The purse is $100,000, and it's for two-year-olds going 5.5 furlongs on the dirt. And it also has a 9-horse field. And when we look at the field, again, we have Todd Pletcher, we got Shug McGahee, Steve Asmussen, Mike Maker, we got Brian Lynch in there. You know, so it's a nice race. It's 5.5 furlongs, and it's a good way to evaluate your horse to see what kind of horse he is. It's $100,000, and that's you know, a good amount of money. And the field is good, but the owners and trainers decided not to run in the Sanford, and they went for this $100,000 race. And so we're going to see a lot of two-year-old races that are be like that at the different tracks where they have a signature race like the Sanford Stakes at Grade 3. And then you're going to see a maiden special weight that's $50,000 less. It's $100,000 going 5.5 furlongs. And so it'll be interesting to see how these horses come out. And they're on our Derby watch on how they get there. So we'll see who, you know, who comes out on top, you know, with the races there, you know, at Saratoga. And all the tracks now, you know, are really in good shape. Everybody's getting excited about it. You know, the race days on Saturday are really good. You know, we're looking at Saratoga. You know, you're looking at an $85,000 maiden special weight. You got a starter allowance for $60,000. You got a $103,000 optional claimer. You got a $90,000 allowance. The $100,000 maiden special weight, you have two of those, one on the dirt and one on the turf at Saratoga this Saturday. So, you know, it's a great day at the races. You can be able to watch them on a lot of networks, But if you go to ientv.org, you'll find out where you can watch them at, and you know where they're going. Again, at Saratoga, $100,000 optional claiming on the turf, $103,000 allowance on the dirt, $150,000 Sanford Stakes, and then they have the $500,000 Diana Stakes on a mile and eighth on the turf there. And then the last race of the day on the dirt is $100,000 maiden special weight. So you're getting a lot of quality horses racing at Saratoga and Del Mar and, Monmouth Park. You're getting a lot of horses racing for that money. And, I mean, let me tell you something. It is loaded, with them. Out on the West Coast at Del Mar, we have the San Diego Handicap, which is a grade two. Post time is at 6:30 p.m. Pacific time, which would make it 9:30 Eastern time here, on the East Coast. It's $250,000 for three-year-olds and up. And, man, this one's loaded. You got Michael McCarthy. You have Richard Mandela, John Cherise, Mike Maker, Bob Baffert, and John Sadler. These horses are just really loaded for bear, as they say. It's going to be an interesting race. It'll be an exciting race to see this type of horses that are racing, for this kind of money. The thing that I like about it is the horse name is Rushi. It's a Florida bred. It's his sire is a nice sire from Ocala Stud. Liam's Map is the sire of him, and this horse is great on the turf, but even better on the dirt. He's a dual winner on dirt and turf and everything. So the one horse in there, I think, is going to be a nice horse. And there is a four-year-old colt, and we'll see just what happens with him, out there at Del Mar. And like I'm saying before, at IENTV.org, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get the public involved, going out to the local races and seeing what's going on, going out to the local shows, going out to polo. It's a great way to spend time with the family, and friends. It gives you something to look forward to. It's like an equine Disney World. A lot of the tracks have things for the kids, like face painting and, pony rides and arts and crafts and, things like that. And then a lot of the tracks now, for Gulfstream, for example, when you go to Gulfstream Park, they have any and everything there for the whole family. One of the things that I like about it is the food services they have there. They have, the regular guys like me can go in, you can get burgers and fries and a couple of beers and watch the races and spend, $20, $25, which is a good time out and nice good meal. Or you can go to the five-star restaurant up in the clubhouse and get the best food in the world. And they have a range of all types of foods and booths there for everybody. So it's really exciting to do that, to see that. And then one of the things that I like about it is Gulfstream's got shopping. So whenever you come there, the guys can go do the guy thing, out into the, to the track. And then the women and the kids and the family and everybody can go into doing the, the shopping and the mall and, everything that's there. There's a wide variety of things that are available at most of the tracks. And that's something that's interesting to do. And then especially like when you go to Keeneland or Churchill Downs, you can make a weekend out of it. There's a lot of horse tours. There's a lot of things that are available, to the patrons that go. The farm tours are really great. The Old Friends Farm in Lexington is a great place to go to. You can see previous stakes winners, internationally known horses, that type of thing. And it's really good. You can get up close and personal with them. You can hand feed them. You can pet them. Old Friends is a great place to go to take the family. And then, while you're in Lexington, you have the Kentucky Horse Park. The Kentucky Horse Park is just a beautiful, amazing facility. They have all breeds of horses there. They have horseshoe demonstrations. They have riding demonstrations. They have horse shows. There are some of the top horse shows in the world are there. They have the three-day Rolex there. They have everything. It's just amazing, what they have. And what I like about it is it's an all-day tour. They've got good food there. They have shops, to shop in. That's really good, to buy souvenirs when you get there. And then one of the most phenomenal things that you'll ever see at any horse facility anywhere in the United States is the camping ground at the Kentucky Horse Park. You can pull up there and they have anywhere from primitive camping to, top of the line. Good restrooms, good showers, clean showers, a nice swimming pool, a lot of events there that you can go to and see. Just go to KentuckyHorseWork.com and you can see all the events that they have, that are there. And that's what we're trying to talk about. If you go to Wellington, Florida, to the facilities in Wellington, they have Saturday Night Lights. It's dancing and a good party, a good horse show, which is really just fantastic, there at Wellington. It gives you a taste and feel of what it's like to be a horse owner, when you get in there and you get into the mix of everything that's going on. It's really fantastic. And it's good for the whole family. And it's at evening when it's a little cooler at night and really nice. And then we go down to North Carolina, down to Tryon, North Carolina. Beautiful facility. Just unbelievable. The mountains and the area and the horse show and just the ambiance of everything that's going on there. They have a little bit of something for everybody, and I guarantee you, at Tryon, you will not get bored. You will not get bored. They have a Saturday Night Lights program too, and it's a wonderful time, for the horsemen, and even a better time for the non-horse people, because you can learn and see and get up close and personal, with the horses and the whole facility that are there. And so that's good. And then we're talking about the World Equestrian Center in Ocala. It's unbelievable. They've got over 10,000 horses in Ocala that are there to compete in the shows and do the different things that are available to the horse industry there. And the facility at the World Equestrian Center is beyond belief. You're talking about hotels, restaurants, camping facilities. They have a church. They have a grocery store. You name it, they got it there. It's really unbelievable. So that was something that's going to be, talked about a lot here in the next few months leading into the winter season, which is not that far off. You're talking here in mid-July, and the fall season starting here another month and a half. You're 3 months you're into the winter season, and which is a long time and really good, for what they're doing there, at all the facilities. And the same thing out west. Is really good for them. It's going to be interesting to see what happens, there with what's going on. So now we're going to get back to the thoroughbreds again, which I'm a thoroughbred guy, and I'm always talking about the thoroughbreds, you know, because that's what I know best. And you know, I don't struggle that much like I do with all the other breeds. But long story short, on the 17th, in Monmouth Park in New Jersey, Ocean Port, New Jersey, up there, the race will be at 5:47 p.m. Eastern Time. It's the TVG Haskell. It's a grade one stake race. It's $1 million race for three-year-olds. And it's going to be interesting to see how this comes out. And, you know, here we had the Kentucky Derby and a couple other races over the summertime here. And let me tell you, we've got a couple of horses from the Derby that are in there. Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon are in there. So it just goes to show you that whenever you run in the Kentucky Derby, it doesn't guarantee you anything down the road. It kind of eliminates a lot of horses. It does. This race is a mile and an eighth on the dirt. Like I said, it's July 17th, Saturday, post time, 5:47 p.m. In the race, we have a horse, the number one horse is Following Sea. It's got Rosario and the irons, and it's trained by Todd Fletcher. It's a 3-1. And this horse is a flat-out runner. He's one of those horses that didn't come along as fast as they thought, you know, he would. It was interesting to see him, you know, 4 months ago, kind of skinny, frail, you know, and now he's matured into a racehorse. And that's Following Scene, the number one post, trading with Todd Fletcher, 3-1. And then we had Anti-Gravity with Cohen in the irons. And John Hollendoffer has come in from California with this horse. He's at 30-1. Don't know much about him, you know, and what he's, where he's been and what he's been doing. I should have done a little more homework on him. But he's out of a colt by the name of First Samurai, which is a flat out runner. And this might be a significant, horse to take a look at. He's going to be tough in there. He'll play a part in it, whether it's on the front end or on the tail end of the race. It's going to be interesting to see Anti-Gravity and see what he does. And then we have Brad Cox. He's got a Madeline. Is in there. He's at 2-1. He's the favorite, or second favorite in the race. And Brad Cox always has these horses ready to run whenever and wherever you see him at. It's just he's a great trainer. He's a Hall of Famer down the road. He's gonna be there every week, and he runs a good, honest stable. If his horse can't win it, then he's not gonna be in it. And that's what I like about Brad. When he goes in there to post, you know that he's got a shot at the race, and he's going to give it all, his all in there. And also, that's Brad Cox's horse, number three. In there. And then we come down to the number four horse for Doug O'Neill, Hot Rod Charlie. He's 6-5. He's the favorite. And Hot Rod Charlie is all over the place. You don't know who's going to show up or when he's going to show up or what he's going to do, but he's a good, solid horse. And, you know, every time you see him entered in a race, you got to throw him into the factor and see what he can do. This horse can close at the end. He can run up front, but I like him as a closer, and I like him for the Monmouth Park track there. I think he's going to run good. I think he'll like that track. To see what's going on, you know, with him. And then we have Kelly Breen, which is stabled at Monmouth Park. And this is a hometown horse. He's a New Jersey bred. It's called Pickin' Time. And it's getting close to pickin' time for all the vegetables and the fruits and everything in New Jersey, because it's a good good area, you know, for raising vegetables and families. And yeah, you got the ocean there, Oceanport, and you got a lot of things there. And I think that picking time might be a horse real good look at. This horse can just flat out run. He might go to the lead and you're not catching. He's at 20-1, yes, Kelly Breen is the trainer. You know, he's going to be somebody to look at, and Kelly's a great, solid trainer, has been year in and year out, and very consistent. That's one thing I can say about Kelly. He's very consistent, and one of the nice things is that we had had one of his show horses here at our facility here in Delray. You know, so he takes good care of his horses, and he looks at aftercare, and you know, he's a great trainer and an even better person. And then the sixth horse we have is Midnight Bourbon, Steve Asmussen horse. It's got Lopez in the irons, and he's at 9-2. And Steve is the kind of guy that is right on top of things, a Hall of Fame guy. You know, he's had his ups and downs with everything. He's got a good family operation, you know, out of Texas. And Steve is always, you know, right there. He's a good trainer. You know, he's right on top of it. And you can't ever overlook him. I don't care what kind of horse he's got. You know, you don't ever overlook Steve Asmussen. Like I said, he's solid as the day is long, and you know, he's at 9-2, and Midnight Bourbon will play a significant part in this race. That's interesting to, you know, to see what he's going to do. And so that's the number six horse, Midnight Bourbon. Got a lot of talk and a lot of press prior to the Derby, and but things, you know, just, you know, haven't gelled for him yet. And, you know, going a mile and an eighth, I think it might be right there for him. Now, this is a horse that I think is going to be a big surprise to a lot of people. And this horse has got a good pedigree. Carol Prince by Zachra by Not For Love. And this horse is a nice horse. The thing that I like about him, and this guy is about due, is Greg Sacco trains the horse. This horse is at 30-1, and he's coming out of the 7 hole. So I think it's going to give him a lot of room to go. Greg is a Monmouth Park trainer, so this horse knows the track inside and out. You know, the jockey Castillo, he knows the track inside and out. And, you know, I think this could be a horse that, you know, could be the longest shot, you know, in the history of the Haskell. This guy is just right on top of it. Like I said, he's a New Jersey-based horse. That's his home track. He knows what it's all about. He's got the outside post, which I like, is because he can't get into any trouble unless the jockey allows it. And that's one thing that I think that jockey's going to stay on top of it when he comes out of the seven there. It's my opinion that they will drop him down to the rail, and they ride the rail all the way to the finish line. And I think that's going to be good for him, you know, to pick them off one by one, you know, in there. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with that. Now, you know, there's a race in Del Mar that I always did like. It's the Run Happy, $100,000 Run Happy Oceanside Stakes. They got a full field of 14 three-year-olds. They're going a mile, 1 mile restricted to the turf race. It's large fields are all around the order of the day for Friday at the Seaside Track, with 106 horses entered in 10 races. This is really great, you know, for them there at Del Mar. They get a lot of ship-ins and everything, so, you know, that's kind of exciting. you know, to see what's going on there. You know, they average, and this is funny, I've never seen a sixth of a horse, but the lineups are averaging 10.6 horses per race from the Northern California this year, and where the fields have been short, you know, and other tracks in California. And so it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Expecting a crowd of 16,000 people at Del Mar. It's a 31-day meet for the summer, which will be interesting. So it's going to see what happens there, you know, at Del Mar. Del Mar is a beautiful track. It's where the surf meets the turf. You know, you need to go to delmar.com and see, you know, what happens with them there. You know, it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how the crowds are. Kicking off opening week from July 17th, they have the $250,000 San Diego Handicap. It's a grade two. It's a prep race for the big race, the TVG Pacific Classic, which is $750,000 on August 21st at their Del Mar. So, you know, they got a lot of exciting things that are going on, you know, at Del Mar. So I was really surprised to see, you know, the field that they have here on the 17th, or actually on Friday. It's tomorrow. It's a mile on the turf, $100,000 added, you know, for three-year-olds. And they got a full field of 14 horses in there. Again, it goes to show you that racing is back up to power, the quality of horses, the trainers, the owners, you know, at every track are just unbelievable. And again, if we go back to how they get there for the 2022 Kentucky Derby, owners really have to sit down and plan and orchestrate their racing careers for their horses. And, you know, when you have a few horses out here like this, you know, in a $1 million race, $600,000 goes to the winner. And, you know, you win a couple of graded races and the stud value goes up, and, you know, you're an owner sitting on $1 million. You know, and hopefully he didn't pay $1 million for the horse that he had, you know, that he has. But, you know, the opportunity is there, and it takes a lot of good planning. And like, for example, you know, the field that we're looking at, you know, tomorrow, it's called the Run Happy Oceanside Stakes. It's a mile on the turf, $100,000 added for three-year-olds, 6 p.m., local time, which is 9 p.m., you know, here on the East Coast. And what I like about it is you see a variety of horses, cowbreds, you see Washington bred in there. It's really good. John Sadler has a nice horse in there called Crew Dragon, which is a nice horse. Bob Baffert has Bruto in there. I don't know much about him, but I think Bruto has been a workmate for a lot of Bob's big horses in there and everything. So now they got him on the turf, and, you know, we'll see what happens with him. Richard Mandela's got Pinocchio in there with Mike Smith aboard. Richard Mandela's a great trainer. He loves it in California and does good. And then Peter Urton. He's got a horse called Dream Shape. And it's an East Coast rider that's riding him. Joe Bravo moved his tack to California. And so Joe's got something to prove. And it's going to be interesting to see, you know, how, this Dream Shape, runs, with, Joe Bravo on the saddle. Joe's got something to prove. And, it's going to be exciting to see, you know, this horse run and see how he does, you know, in there. And so this race is totally loaded. Peter Millen's got a nice horse in there. It's None Above the Law, which is kind of ironic for the horse business. There are some that are above the law, and this horse is contradicting that. So, and he's a cowbred, so none of the above, none above the law is a nice horse in there. And then in jest with Doug O'Neill, he's got Victor Espinosa in the irons. He's going to be a tough horse to get a hold of and beat. There's a Hockey Dad, and there is another Doug O'Neill horse, which is going to be tough. So all the races that we're just kind of running over real quick and not getting into details, on them, but, just kind of skimming the surface on them. What I like about it is the fact that, there's a lot of quality horses out there. And no matter what's going on in the courts and everything, when you go to the track, you're going to get an honest deal. You're going to get an honest shake. Sure, there'll be some of them that break the laws and try to skirt around it. But, that happens in every sport and any business that you're in. But 99% and a half of the time, you're getting the real deal. With them. And like we're saying, there's a lot of good races, a lot of good horses, a lot of horses running, at every track, full fields, good for take the family out and everything and, go from there with it. And then now we're going to talk a little bit about Chuck Wagon that we have here on IEN. No matter whether you're in the horse business or the car business or no matter what you're doing, I found out over the last 10 years that the RV life is pretty good for the equestrian. It's pretty good for a lot of people. You get the NASCAR people that do the RV and they go every week, 30 some odd plus weeks that they go, RVing with the family and friends. Then, you got college football coming up and you can go RV into that, do the tailgating, but, 52 weeks out of the year, in the horse business, we have equestrian events going on all over the world. And the nice part about it is that take for example, in the fall, starting getting into August, September, in November, the Northeast is great, to go to equestrian events, to the horse shows, to, the horse racing, and spend the weekend, out in the RV, to do that. The summertime, it's great to go to, to Illinois, to Chicago, to Arlington Park and see what they have and to go out to, the horse shows in California. And then, there's a lot of nice horse parks all through the Midwest. And you can see the color of the leaves and enjoy, a good fall, equestrian type weekend out there. Parker, Colorado, out close to Denver, is a beautiful place to go to, see the horses and see the mountains and do the family thing. And the great thing about the RVing with the equestrians is you don't have to, stay at the equestrian facilities the whole time. There's a lot of things that are available, through, surrounding the horse park venues and the racing, especially like at Tryon, North Carolina. Oh, my God. It's beautiful there in the fall in Tryon. It's just phenomenal. To see the mountains and to see everything that's there. And so, RVing is a great thing to do. You don't have to actually be an equestrian to do it, but the thing of it is it's just getting out with the family and, enjoying, the horse life and, all those different things that they're out there doing and everything. So, that's good to go to and to see. And then I'd like to, first, people to call in or email us, and see what kind of horse movies you would like. We got on the website this month. We have a nice movie out here. It's Spirit Riders. It's a family animal movie type thing, and it's really good. You know, it's good good for the family to sit down and watch enjoy things about horses. You don't have to be a horse person to watch it. You know, that's the great thing about what we're trying to do here at IEN, is to do some things, you know, that are family-oriented. And you know, like I said, remember, when you come to the website, you don't have to be a horseman, because what we're doing is trying to educate you and provide a good visual, you know, things for you to see, you know, on our website, to see what all is going on. And it's really good. We got the Olympics that are coming up. Boy, oh boy, is that a mess over there. Some of the horse people don't know whether they should go, whether they should stay at home, you know, but it's crunch time now, and that's why they're here, to do what they're doing, is to determine whether they go or whether they don't. We got the World Cup coming up. We've got a lot of world championships coming up that don't really coincide with the Olympics, but it's either before or after the Olympics. And again, it goes back, how do they get there? It's an owner's decision. The owners have to decide whether they're going to go to the Olympics, or, you know, whether they're going to choose like the European championships, or, you know, the World Cup or the American championships, you know, for their horses. There's a lot of things that are involved, you know, in the horse industry that we try to bring to light here at IEN. We just really, you know, try to make you aware that there's a lot more to it than just, you know, the pretty horses jumping or racing in just a few minutes that you see in these horse events, you know, that are broadcast nationally and internationally. There's just a lot more to it. You know, like deciding whether to go to the Olympics or, you know, to, you know, whatever event. Then we've got polo. Polo is all over this country, and it's growing by leaps and bounds. And I'm sure that in your location, there's a polo event somewhere near you. Like in Lexington, they have at the horse park, they have polo matches there. Saratoga, Del Mar, San Diego, Los Angeles, Chicago, you know, they all have polo events. And what's nice about it is most of those polo events are free. You know, you can go and see them that are free, you know, to see. You can tailgate at the polo grounds. In between chuckers, you can go out and stomp all in the divots. And, you know, there's a lot to do with, you know, to do with the polo events that we have all across the states and internationally and everything. So that, you know, that's good, you know, to visit and do that. There's just so many things, you know, that are involved or in and around the equestrian industry, and people really don't realize, you know, what's going on. Like, for example, in Ocala, there's 10,000 horses there for the World Equestrian Center events this year. And, you know, what people don't realize is that, whenever you have horses in and around your community, you got to remember, these are people that are going to the Burger Kings and to the, you know, different, restaurants, the Chili's and the Applebee's and, you know, places like that. They're shopping at the local grocery stores. You know, they're going to the doctors. They're going to the eyeglass, facilities. They're going to the Walmarts, you know, the gas stations, and they're a very big part of that community's success and structure that they do. So that's why we're trying to get more people involved into the equestrian industry and see what happens, you know, to do that. Like the Kentucky Derby's coming up, which is 10 days of equestrian events and all kinds of things there. And it's a good thing to go look at. Go to ChurchillDowns.com, and you can see all the things that they have and the parties they have And, you know, one of the big things that has gotten big over the last few years are the, especially with the COVID, are the at-home derby parties. Those things are really becoming popular. You get several of your friends together. You know, you have an all-day-long barbecue and big party there, you know, that they have. You know, it's really fun, you know, to do that with. And the Breeders' Cup's coming up, you know, so there's another event that they're having. There's a lot of different shows that are available that you can just throw, you know, quick get together. And it just gives you a reason, you know, to get together with your friends and family, you know, and enjoy a weekend, you know, do something a little different, you know, and you're in control because it's your facility. There's a place called Caldwell's in Louisville, Kentucky, and it's Derby Central. They have all kinds of party favors, cutout horses, hats, glasses, you name it, they've got it if it's related to the Derby. It's always fun to do that, you know, to get together and really put on a nice show, kind of like a New Year's Eve for the equestrian industry, you know, that they're doing that with. And also, but that's the whole point here at IEN, that we're trying to get together families and get people organized to go to, you know, horse shows and horse racing and you know, watch the movies and things like that. And that's what our country needs now. We need to come together, you know, on everything and celebrate the different events that we're having, whether it's football, NASCAR racing, you know, the horse industry, you know, get together, you know, as friends and family and bring it all back together. Because, you know, I've always learned that when you see a country or a business or an industry, when you see them being divided, like our country is really being divided now. And, you know, you have all these different organizations and different things. And when you divide something, like our country is being divided, it's a plan for failure, you know. And because once you get a country divided or get an industry divided, then it's just a matter of time, you know, before, you know, it's completely destroyed, you know, and it's failed. And our horse industry over the last year never got divided, never wavered from anything that we were doing. We kept up doing what we were doing, and it's successful. You know, it's been very successful, and very few layoffs in the horse industry, so we survived. And that's what we try to do here at IEN, is get people together, you know, to bond and enjoy the horse industry and everything. So, well, equestrians, that's about enough of you listening to me today go on and on and on and on about what we're doing in the horse industry. And also, you're more than welcome to, you know, join us at any time of what we're doing. And remember, the journey not only starts here, but it continues on every week. And just remember, when you're on that journey, you're making memories that can never be taken away from you. And that's what we want to do in the horse industry. Get you involved so you can have those memories. And then when you get old, you know, decrepit like I am, you can sit on the porch and you can remember way back when of all the things that you did and all the places that you've been. So hope you enjoyed the show today. And get with us next Thursday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And call us and let us know what your equestrian stories are. This is Scott Miller, founder of the International Equine Network, saying thank you for joining us, and we'll see you next week.